Hello, hello everyone, and welcome to episode 2 of season 4 of the Wormburner podcast. I am your host, Justin, and for this week, honestly, I wanted to go back to one of the ideas that I had had last year in terms of taking a dissection of a team and just breaking down how I feel when it comes to the way that the team's going, where they could improve, where they are exceeding, and just break down teams as a whole. For this episode, I wanted to take a deep dive into the situation going on at Barcelona FC. They did not have the greatest start at the beginning of this year. However, they have since turned it around. They are currently in second place in La Liga, but they are still a few points off Real Madrid. And so I feel like there are a couple things that the squad and the management can really do to improve themselves when it comes to the squad and being able to move forward in this ordeal of the 2024 season and onward. So once we are complete with that breakdown, I would like to do the Wormburner news section. There has been a lot going on recently. One of the key things that I would really like to talk about is the LAFC signing of Olivier Giroud. I read that. It blew my mind how LAFC had acquired him. And so there are a couple more news sections other than that. However, I just wanted to at least prelude to that one. If you have not already, check out our Facebook, facebook.com/TheWormburnerPodcast. If you have not checked out our Twitter, it is at WormburnerPDCST. Again, that is WormburnerPDCST. If you have not checked out our website, it is the-wormburner-podcast.captivate.fm. Again, that is the-wormburner-podcast.captivate.fm. Let's go ahead and get into the breakdown of FC Barcelona. All right, so for the breakdown of FC Barcelona, I really needed to take a dive into the overall background of what is going on around Barcelona, what has caused this situation in terms of Barcelona not performing at the normal levels in which they do. And honestly, looking at it, I don't think that this is a complete everything needs to be gutted. It's a complete renovation, I guess is what I'm trying to say. It does not appear so. It does seem like a lot of things are functioning when it comes to Barcelona, and they are starting to get on the right foot, especially since the recent situation, or more recent in terms of just overall history of the club, that Lionel Messi had left. And really and truly, I find that was the core reason as to why FC Barcelona spiraled the way that they did. They did not expect to lose such a legend of their club, and sure enough, they did. And I feel like a lot of what happened afterwards can only really and truly be explained by panic. And it seems like the ship is starting to finally go on the course that it was intended to go on, and it does not seem like the management and the club is in this spiral of sorts that really the club had been in for at least a couple of years. They were buying an absurd amount of players, and it didn't seem like, maybe they may or may not have been able to recoup said money. So they were losing massive amounts of money in such a short amount of time. And the COVID pandemic definitely did not help with that situation at all. And they could be still reeling for that situation. So looking at it from the outside in, there are some very interesting things that Barcelona could do, just very small tweaks. When I looked at this, it was a small adjustments versus a complete gutting. And if Barcelona had made or make these small tweaks, I feel like this could be really a really good club again, a really, really good club again. And so for me, This is my opinion. Obviously, I would love to hear you guys' opinion at the end of this and just to see if maybe you were thinking along the same lines or if something was caught you off guard and you didn't expect some of the stats or anything like that that I am about to go into. Just let me know what you think in the comments when it comes to the posting itself of the episode. Or anywhere in general. I'd love to hear it really and truly. I love this kind of thing, and if I'm wrong in any of my assessments or anything like that, I would love to hear that as well. So the main and key thing here when it comes to FC Barcelona is the fact that Xavi at the end of the season will be leaving. There seems to be this exodus of coaches, at least when it comes to Xavi, and then also we have Jurgen Klopp leaving Liverpool at the end of the season. So there is going to be a turnover when it comes to this club that I don't entirely think Barcelona need to do. And what I mean by that is they shouldn't have a manager come in and completely gut the entire squad. The squad is good. There are some positions that can improve, and there are some positions that can be improved on within the next couple of years. And that is one thing I'll be getting into later, is we would need a manager, or Barcelona specifically, would need a manager that could come in, work with the talent that they have, and make subtle improvements. And overall, the tactics are there. And looking over the management, the available managers, and even the managers that are still out there. I believe Xabi Alonso had signed a preseason, not preseason, sorry, but before the season is officially over in the Bundesliga, he's already signed a agreement with Bayern Munich. So he will be leaving for Bayern Munich at the end of the season after he finishes the latest campaign with Bayer Leverkusen. And I don't think Klopp will go to Barcelona. I am thinking closer along the lines of he could possibly retire. Two names that have been frequently rotating around Barcelona are Pep Guardiola and Luis Enrique. I fully believe that at least with the campaign going on currently right now with Manchester City, I don't think Pep's leaving. And I don't think Pep's leaving at least for a couple of years. I feel like he's solidified at Manchester City. And so, at least, it may be a tiny bit biased, but I definitely think Pep Guardiola is liking where he is currently right now. He is not in a position in which he would be tempted away, if that makes sense. And Luis Enrique, he is at PSG. And at least to the latest report that was, I believe, released by OneFootball, Luis Enrique is not looking to get back into the dugout when it comes to Barcelona specifically. So we would really, really need a name, a well-known name, because of course he's going to be working with talent from around the world in one of the best clubs in the world and work with personalities and all kinds of different identities all coming together when it comes to Barcelona. And one name came across, and they have been rumored for this position for a little while since at least I believe Xavi had announced he was not coming back at the end of the season. So I decided to do a little digging, and I was very impressed when it came to this manager, and I believe that at least with the areas in which Barcelona are struggling, he would make a great fit to be able to actually fix those said problems. And that manager is Hansi Flick. He As manager, his latest stint was with the German national side, and beforehand he had managed Bayern Munich, and that was his first major managerial position in terms of being able to coach a whole bunch of different personalities. You're in the biggest club in Germany, hands down. And when it comes to some managers and at least in this reference, I'm referencing Graham Potter. When you move from a large team to the biggest team in the country, sometimes that weight of expectation just buckles you, and you can't and are not able to do it. Hansi Flick took his job at Bayern Munich and not only succeeded at it, he surpassed a ton of expectations when it came to his role at Bayern Munich. He in total stayed 3 seasons, and in those 3 seasons, he won 8 titles with Bayern Munich. He ended up winning 2 Bundesliga titles, 1 German Cup, 1 Champions League title, 1 FIFA Club World Cup, 1 Super Cup, and 1 German Super Cup at the club. He averaged 2.45 points per game, which, ironically enough, and this is the interesting fact for all of you today, out of all of the Bayern Munich managers, only one has had a better points per game average than Hansi Flick, and that is Pep Guardiola. So to come after Pep Guardiola into this Bayern side and continue its domination over the Bundesliga in Germany, it didn't seem like at all Bayern Munich skipped a step at all. In the total of 86 games he managed Bayern Munich, he won 70 of them. 86 games, Hansi Flick won 70 of them with a win percentage of 81% with the Munich side. And it was just absolutely mind-boggling. I think the statistic was that if it was spread throughout his entire career, he won a title every 12 games, which is wild to even think about. So in total, Hansi Flick, I think, is really one of the best coaches for this position, for Barcelona to be able to take the reins after Xavi leaves. And going into the team problems that Barcelona are having, and this is, I don't want to say problems as if they are huge. They are small problems, but if these problems are not treated, this could definitely become a very large problem in the very near future. And so one of these problems is having to do with performance. When it comes to performance over Barcelona, their XG when it comes to scoring against opponents is actually just slightly under their expected goals. So XG or expected goals is a team's in general expected goals in a game or over the course of several games or again a season. And Barcelona's current XG is 62.5 goals over the course of the 29 games that have been played so far. In those 29 games, they have scored 57 goals. So, again, this is slightly underperforming their XG. This is still solid numbers, but it does show a problem in terms of converting chances that Barcelona, really and truly being the club and the stature they are, they should be converting. And so they are averaging 1.96 goals per game, which is, again, very good. It is good, and especially for a team of Barcelona's caliber. But this becomes even more of a problem and more damaging in terms of the overall scope of Barcelona when you're considering the XG of the opponents that they face over the course of the season. The XG for the opponents that they have faced is a total of 29.8 goals. So about 29.8 goals they should be conceding against opponents. They have conceded 34. So they are above their XG when it comes to conceding goals. So they're conceding 1.17 goals per 90 or per game. And that is not good. That statistic is worse when it comes to the Champions League. And let me explain this. It doesn't sound as bad reading the statistics. However, if you put one key fact into there, It's a very bad statistic. In total of the 8 games that they have played in the Champions League, they have conceded 8 goals. So from a XG of 7.8 goals in those 8 games. However, the statistic or the fact that I would like to put in here is the teams that they have played in the Champions League is Napoli, Porto, Shakhtar Donetsk, and Antwerp in Belgium. Those are not very large names. Napoli, yes. I will go ahead and concede that. Of course, yes. Napoli is a big side. And they did actually score 2 goals against Barcelona in their tie in the later stages of the competition. However, 1 game against Shakhtar Donetsk and 1 game against Antwerp, Barcelona lost. Antwerp, they lost 3-2, and Shakhtar Donetsk, they won, they sorry, lost 1-0. And for Barcelona to be losing those games against sides that they should be winning against. Now, I wouldn't have as much of a problem if they are dominating in terms of their XG. In Antwerp's first game against Barcelona beat them 5-0. So when it came to the second game, Antwerp completely rotated everything on its head and ended up beating the Catalonian side in a 3-2 loss, or in a 3-2 win for them, but a 3-2 loss for Barcelona. That can't happen to a side like Barcelona. It just can't. With their stature, with the players that they have, it just can't happen. And again, Shakhtar Donetsk, they ended up winning the first leg, but then losing the second away against Shakhtar Donetsk. And that just can't happen. That just can't happen. And overall, I found that there were some problem positions in terms of their depth and the areas that needed to be improved. And that's what's going to lead to this next portion, the positions in terms of evaluating the squad and seeing where we need to bring in players and where we can, I guess, bring in quality but not have to pay so much. And this is the key when it came to the situation at Barcelona. Barcelona are not in a great financial position. They would need to either A, sell players to get the funds to be able to spend on other players, or B, find a cheap option and grow them into the squad, or be able to bring them up through their academy if they are young, and work them through the academy that way, La Masia that way. And I don't think I have bad options here. And so there are some possibly controversial opinions when it comes to this. So I will go ahead and say this. There are three players at Barcelona that I've earmarked for sale. The first one, and I feel like the most obvious one, is the backup goalkeeper Enrique Peña. He is on transfer market at about 5, I believe it was possibly even 10, 5 to 10 million euros. I had him at a general sale of about 8 million. I don't know if that would be something or even be plausible for Barcelona to sell him like that. And especially with the statistics when it comes to Peña, he was in goal when it came to some of the worst losses Barcelona has received this year. And so that's one of the reasons why I've earmarked him for sale. The other person I've earmarked for sale is Andreas Christensen. Christensen goes for around 40 million euros, and I would say generally around that would be a good range in which you would be able to receive a deal. In terms of defensive output, he has been one of the lesser center backs for Barcelona, at least in my opinion. This is, again, my opinion. I feel like the other center backs have produced better than him, and especially with the option that I have moving forward with Barcelona, I feel like when it comes to their defense, they can lose Christensen and not lose quality when it comes to the team overall. The third and final player that I have earmarked for sale is Rafinha. Rafinha, for me, when it came to the transfer of Rafinha, I was not a huge fan of it. I didn't really and truly understand why Barcelona had bought him, and this was during the panic transfer era post Messi, and they were just lapping up a ton of attacking talent for seemingly no reason. And honestly, for me, Rafinha has not repaid what Barcelona have paid for him. It's not worth it, at least for me. He's currently valued at 50 million euros, and I think any amount close to that for Rafinha, you should be grabbing and running to the bank, because I just don't think statistically, from a right wing point of view, he has been able to keep up with Barcelona and being able to output as much as he has. And again, goals are the key here when it comes to the output here at Barcelona. They are not up to XG in terms of their attack. Rafinha, while yes, has gotten m many assists, and I will go ahead and concede that point. He has gotten many assists for the side. Specifically, he has gotten 7 assists for the side. He is lacking in the attacking quality in terms of goals. And that is what I would be looking to replace when it came to Rafinha. Bringing back and going into the talent coming into the squad, this is where I find a lot of fun, at least personally for me. Now, for the sale of Andreas Christensen, I believe that there is a very simple solution in terms of the way that the club could do something. And I think that it's a very reasonable thing for them to do. They would get 40 million euros to be able to invest somewhere in the squad later on, possibly even into contracts for a later date. We'll talk about that in a minute. But they already have a very solid center back on their books. However, he's not even playing for the squad, and that is Eric Garcia. He is currently on loan at Girona FC, and he has been an absolute stone wall in the defense there. They have been able to hold firm and currently are sitting in third place in the league. I cannot really and truly say enough about this Girona side. My last episode last season was about Girona FC, and I was just amazed at how well they were doing. And this entire season, I've been watching them like a hawk. It has been absolutely jaw-dropping. Let me get off my high horse when it comes to Girona. Going back to Eric Garcia, he is a great talent that Barcelona has. I think moving forward, sell Christensen, bring Garcia back from loan, bring him into the rotation, bleed him into the rotation. He can be a great, great rotation player for Barcelona, in my opinion. And even looking into the stats at Girona FC, Garcia has actually scored in the highest percentage, or in the 99th percentile when it comes to progressive passes forward. An extremely good player when it comes to progressive passes forward, and just overall has been a great player for the Girona side. I think bringing him back, bleeding him in the squad, making him a rotation option would be a great, great addition for this Barcelona side. And at least in hindsight, you get 40 million out of it. That's an unbelievable deal, at least for me, and why I decided to highlight it. Now, moving forward with Peña. Peña is the backup goalkeeper, and one of the main reasons why Barcelona are underperforming when it comes to their XG versus opponents. And so I feel that he should go. Peña is just not up to the standard that Barcelona needs in terms of backup players. And so the backup player that I had looked at was a bit expensive, and so I kept looking, and I stumbled upon a 23-year-old that I was just absolutely star-studded by, just by the amount of time that he has had in his team. It hasn't been much, I will be honest. I believe in total he's had 17 games with the side. However, those 17 games have been great for him. There's only been a handful of blunders in terms of bad performances, but overall, he has been a great backup goalkeeper, and that player is Marco Karnesecki, and he is the backup goalkeeper for Atalanta, and he has a save percentage of 78.2%. One of the games this season that he has performed in was the quarterfinals of the Coppa Italia against AC Milan. In only the eighth time in Atalanta's history, they've qualified for the semifinals. And it was through this backup's performance against AC Milan, ended up getting them over the line and winning 2-1 against the side. I think he is a great backup. It shows that against sides that may not pose a serious threat to the overall Barca side, maybe for, I don't want to say insignificant league games, but when it comes to the games in which they are going against the lower table sides, definitely this goalkeeper has what it takes to be able to be a great backup. And at least in terms of big games, he has shown quality when it came to those big chances. And he has gotten his side into the Coppa Italia semifinals for the eighth time in their club's history. And when it comes to the Coppa Italia, if he's even in the semifinals, both legs of the semifinal, I believe they're playing Fiorentina. If they end up qualifying for the final, they've only won the Coppa Italia once in their entire history. And if he is a part of that side to be able to make something happen, he is for sure deserving of some kind of a transfer. And I definitely think Barcelona could, and really, in this case, should be the reason why he goes to a bigger, get a big transfer move. He's only 23 years old. He can grow into a solid goal stopper for this Catalan side. Going into the midfield, I feel like that there should definitely be a signing in terms of the midfield. There has I don't like to use this word, however, in terms of the injuries Barcelona have, they have lost Pedri, Gavi, and Frankie de Jong to injury. It seems like there is a bit of a crisis going on in terms of the midfield for Barcelona, and they really need to sign a player in which would allow them to perform better in the midfield. And I think I've highlighted the best player when it comes to that, and that player is Guido Rodriguez. He is currently a central midfielder, a defensive midfielder for Real Betis, and his stats really show truly he is a great defensive presence on the field. He is younger than the defensive midfielder Barcelona have signed when it comes to their overall squad. Rodriguez is 29 years old compared to Romeu, his counterpart, in which he would be replacing at Barcelona, that is 32 years old. He's had 15 starts for Real Betis, and he's made 1.6 tackles per 90 compared to Romeu's 1.2 interceptions per 90. Rodriguez has 1.1 interceptions per 90 versus Ramiro's 0.4 interceptions per 90. The only thing that Romeu beats Rodriguez in is fouls and dribbles per 90. However, I feel like the statistics of clearances, blocks, interceptions, and tackles, at least in my opinion, beats that considerably. He has performed better than Romeu, and this is the best part about the transfer. Rodriguez is currently running out on his contract at Betis. He has not re-signed his contract. He would be looking for a club this summer. It would be a completely free transfer for a solid midfielder. He wouldn't have to be a starter, But for sure, he would be a great rotation player in that midfield that could shore up the defense or help shore up the defense from midfield and not let anything penetrate or go through the midfield in terms of passes being created or anything like that. He is a solid, solid player. And at 29, he's younger than Romelu is. And everything about this deal screams a gem. And I'm hopeful that at least when it comes to a possible prediction, I'll be looking at wherever he does go because I think he could be a great defensive presence for any side that really and truly want him. And that leads me to the right wing position, at least for me. When it comes to the talent Barcelona has, there is no outright right winger for Barcelona. They've got two very solid left wingers, João Félix and Fernando Torres. However, I definitely think the squad can improve in terms of their right wing. Am I saying that João Félix or Torres should be sold? No, I'm not. However, I think that when it comes to the overall fluidity of the squad, the majority of the times when Xavi has lined them up, it has been in a 4-3-3 or a 4-2-3-1, which the 4-2-3-1 would benefit João Félix more, being able to assert himself in the attacking midfield, central attacking midfield position, like he normally does. However, he has mainly been utilized on that left side. Torres likewise has been utilized on that left side, but he has also been able to flip onto the right side and be able to create contributions for Barcelona that way. I don't think, in terms of the signings, that João Félix should have been signed. This is at least my opinion moving forward, at least with João Félix himself. I think he could have had a better move in terms of overall area or the team he was able to go to. I know Atleti weren't looking to really do anything with him. They had loaned him out to Chelsea previously, and he did wonders there. So that might be the reason, but unless Barcelona are looking to go into a 4-2-3-1 formation, which greatly benefits João Félix more, I don't think keeping him would be a great option. This is at least moving forward when it comes to statistics and when it comes to the formations itself. Now, with the right wing, there are one of two options. You've got a young player being able to come out and be a part of the Barcelona side in Lamine Yamal, and he's only 16 years old. And I might have absolutely butchered his name. I hope I didn't. However, he's only 16 years old. He is a great prospect moving forward for Barcelona. I don't know to which what person I could liken him to just yet. However, he's got the entire world at his feet right now. But I don't see him in a starting role at Barcelona right now. That's my opinion when it comes to it. And I think that there should be a signing from Barcelona that would either be able to take the starting role at Barcelona and then shift back into a backup position or a rotation position, or just overall buy a rotation position and stick with them while the youngster gets into the squad, becomes more and more familiar with everything, it essentially gets bled in and really starts to gain momentum and become that really positive and great right winger that Barcelona need him to be. And so I've got two different ways that we can go with this. The first one, and at least when it comes to buying a rotation player and just sticking with him at rotation the entire rest of his time there, at least for me, would be the signing of Viktor Sigankov from Girona FC. I'm a bit on my high horse when it comes to Girona again. However, the man has done an unbelievable job for the Catalan side. He has been able to muster 20 appearances for the side with 6 goals and 4 assists for the side. being able to contribute with more key passes than Rafinha, the person that he would be replacing, as well as more goals, which is really the key aspect when it comes to this. And I feel signing Zinchenko as a backup to Barcelona, that would be a great way for him to he is a overall great player. However, I don't really and truly see him being a star player, a star right winger for a side like Barcelona, for a side like Real Madrid, for a side like, I guess, Juventus or Manchester City or Liverpool. I just don't see that yet. I could be very wrong, and I hope I am wrong. However, if we were to move forward and go with a player that would be a starting right winger for the side and then transition into a more rotation role, I definitely think I have the player that would be able to benefit Barcelona the most. And the best part is he is already performing in La Liga for another side, and that is the star talisman side when it comes, or the star talisman from Athletic Club is Iñaki Williams. Now, most of you would be like, why are we not looking at Nico? To which I would say, we have the young talent. We have the young talent at the club. We don't want to essentially water down the talent that we would have, because at the end of the day, we would be making the players fight for a position that there's only one position when it comes to it. These players, they wouldn't be able to transfer into another position. You might be able to flip them over to the other side. However, being able to actually accommodate that other side, it would be different for them. And they may not be able to do that. They might be able to, and even might become better when it comes to that. But it's not a chance that I'm willing to take in terms of this quote unquote rebuild. It's not a rebuild, but a tweak. And so when it comes to the signing of Iñaki Williams, a lot of you are like, why? And this is why I say why. In the 25 starts that he's had for Athletic Club this season, he has scored 9 goals with 3 assists. And the reason I highlight that is because this is going on the second best season Iñaki Williams has had at Athletic Club since he started there as a boy. And I think going into this next season, he will be wanted by somebody. And I guarantee you, possibly one of those people could be Chelsea. I don't know with the latest going out of Chelsea, which is going to be talked about later. I don't know what's going to be happening with Chelsea or any other side that will want a right winger. He will be desired for sure. And coming in at 25 million euros, this is significantly downgraded from his highest evaluation of 50 million euros. I don't believe Athletic Club will let him go for that much. However, I feel like a hefty price tag of about 35 to 45 million euros would be sufficient enough to be able to pry him off of Athletic Club. They have the replacement in Nico Williams. I just see something like that happening, and he would be an instant starter to the side. He is a proven forward when it comes to La Liga itself. He has had an unbelievable career in La Liga. Why not end it at a side like Barcelona? That would solve the right wing position in terms of solidifying it and making an outright right winger for the side. I feel like that might be a contribution when it comes to the reasons why the statistics are so low. That is going to end our breakdown of FC Barcelona. We are going to go ahead and get into the worm burner news section now. So let's go ahead and get into that. All right, so for this week's worm burner news section, I wanted to take 2 points and move with them. If you had missed this news in terms of the overall footballing time frame, the transfer of Olivier Giroud is happening to LAFC. He will be reuniting with his French international counterpart, Hugo Lloris, And I just wanted to bring that to light. I think that it's a great move. And I think this is where I wanted to very briefly re-clarify that when it comes to the MLS, I do have a problem with it being called the retirement league. However, I think that there is a healthy balance between the two of being a retirement league while also bringing in talent, bringing in youth to be able to really ramp up these sides, ramp up the team. And there is a happy medium. There's always a happy medium. And I just don't want sides just absolutely loaded with old talent like Inter Miami is, and not to throw any shade towards them, but they have an unbelievable amount of old talent there that honestly they are very good in the MLS. However, in the European stage, they're past their prime. Well, maybe not Messi, but you get my point. And so I think overall, I think that there is a happy medium, and whether teams know where that is, I think LAFC would be able to know that they can invest in an older player like Olivier Giroud. He w is still an unbelievable talent, and to have him at LAFC, he'll do wonders, I think, for the club and really transform the club and bring it forward into the foreseeable future. I really see the United States growing a lot in the last next couple of years, and definitely with a signing like this, it's a positive improvement for the United States having a signing and an international man like Olivier Giroud into the MLS. It's just a great signing in general. The second piece of news that I wanted to highlight over was that Todd Boehly has been announced that he will not be taking his position as the head of the consortium that owns Chelsea FC in the future. I believe the date in which he will be removed is 2025 or 2027. It's around that range. Honestly, this is really good news for Chelsea. Super good news for Chelsea. And I think that they can move forward a lot with this. The way that Todd Boehly has ran the club so far has been absolutely abysmal. And I know a small part of that has to do with injuries. However, I don't think it excuses anything that Todd Boehly has done. I think his largest error was the firing of Thomas Tuchel, in which in less than 24 hours he had replaced him with Graham Potter. I know that when it comes to the overall aspect of the hype behind Graham Potter, he definitely had the resume in terms of Brighton and Hove Albion. However, there were cracks in that idea very early on. He did not have the record. He did not have any experience that showed him that he could manage a club successfully the size of Chelsea FC. It was just a no-go from the start, in my opinion, and it backfired horribly. Potter was one of the worst manager appointments in Chelsea FC's history, at least for the previous 10 to 20 years. And just overall, I hate to say this about someone, but good riddance. As a American, seeing a person like him being removed from the position that he was in, I don't like the way that he was running Chelsea FC. I really did not. And as an American, I don't like when Americans are represented poorly. I don't think anybody in terms of Americans like when Americans are represented poorly on the international stage. And that for me was one that I did not like. I did not like at all. I'll be 100% honest. And good riddance. I'm glad that he is not going to be the lead of the consortium, and I hope that they appoint somebody that would be able to better fit the club and actually know what they're doing, because I truly do not believe Todd Boehly knew what he was doing. And I think he just saw it as a financial investment, because of course the Glazers have been successful over the course of their stint at United, and He saw an opportunity and he was going to take it. And not having any experience at all running a club like that either. I'm beating a dead horse. I've talked about this, I don't know how many times. Good riddance. I'm glad Bully's out. So that is going to complete the Worm Burner News section this week. And I hope you enjoyed this week's episode. Stay safe. Have fun. Love soccer, guys. I hope you guys enjoy the time between this episode and next episode. And I will see you guys next time. Ciao.